Hey, this is Brock, and you are listening to the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm the entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday to guide you through everything fun that's happening on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Shows, music, nightlife, food, and more. Thanks for coming along. You can find this show every week at lasvegassun.com/podcasts or at Apple Podcasts. It's Wednesday, February 5th, and I've got an exclusive interview this episode with one of the biggest names in magic in Las Vegas and beyond. But before we get to that, let's do some news. The Hard Rock Hotel is officially a thing of the past in Las Vegas. It hosted a week-long farewell party and then closed its doors for good Monday night. Planned, of course, to reopen as Virgin Hotels Las Vegas in the fourth quarter of this year. Very sadly, I did not make it to the Hard Rock to say my own personal goodbyes to this iconic Vegas property. And I know we use the word iconic too much, but this time it definitely fits the bill. But I think I've been saying goodbye to the pieces of the Hard Rock I know best for years now. I was thinking about this earlier when I was listening to a great new podcast called Vegas Revealed with Dana Rosselli and Sean McAllister. They recorded an episode from the Hard Rock Casino floor over the final weekend, and one of their guests was longtime local publicist Laura Herlovich. Laura worked on the Hard Rock's opening 25 years ago, and she was recalling her memories of what that experience was like. And later on, she said that, you know, once Peter Morton, who famously founded the Hard Rock Cafe before he built the hotel in Vegas, once he sold the hotel, it just wasn't the Hard Rock anymore for her. It was just too different. And that really made sense to me. I have kind of a similar feeling for the Hard Rock, but I'm not quite sure when that point came when it wasn't my Hard Rock anymore. I spent a lot of time partying there, basically from when it opened all the way into the early 2000s. I loved Babies, the basement nightclub that eventually turned into Body English and then the home of the Magic Mike Live show. I also loved Simon Kitchen, which opened, I think, in 2002 and was one of the first kind of restaurants to create that party scene and have great food and just that kind of well-rounded experience and have a party brunch. Of course, the late Carrie Simon created that. I had a lot of meals after midnight at Mr. Lucky's. I saw a ton of concerts at the joint. To me, the story of the Hard Rock is it's the first modern version of the story of the place to be in Vegas. The idea that one spot is the coolest spot until times change and something else comes along, and then it's relegated to being less cool. But the Hard Rock was really cool and really fun for a long time. It had a great run, and it's definitely time to try something else, and that's what's happening now. So thanks and love to the people that made it great, and best of luck with what comes next. My Sun colleague, Brian Horwath, wrote a great piece about the closing this week, and you should go read that right now at lasvegassun.com. There were quite a few new show dates announced this past week, but also some new shows. So let's get the familiar stuff out of the way first. Carlos Santana has tacked on some more shows for his long-running residency at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. He's added 8 shows in September and 8 in November, and those go on sale this Friday. Pitbull is coming back to Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood for a new residency show called Get Ready Vegas. The first 5 dates are April 22nd, 24th, and 25th, and September 10th and 11th. Those shows go on sale Friday as well. Pitbull has played this room pretty much every year since 2015. He's actually the longest running headliner here since this theater started hosting these residency type shows. And Calvin Harris has re-upped his long running residency at Hawkeson Group venues on the Strip for 2020. This time it's more of a limited engagement. He's only going to be playing at Omnia at Caesar's Palace this year, and he has 7 dates right now starting on April 24th. On to some new or newer headliners. Adam Lambert, who last played Vegas at Park Theater with Queen in 2018, will play 3 shows at the Venetian Theater April 23rd through 25th. Tickets are on sale Saturday. Adam Lambert made a fan out of me when I caught one of those Queen shows, so I'll definitely be checking out his solo gigs at the Venetian. But I hope the Queen shows come back too for like a longer term residency, because they were awesome. And Derek Hough, who performed at the Smith Center last year downtown, he's starting a real residency at the Flamingo Showroom on June 2nd. It's called No Limit. It's an all-new production, and it'll be very heavy on dance, as you would expect from an Emmy-winning choreographer. You know, Paula Abdul's show at the same venue was also very dance-centric, so the stage there should accommodate this show very well. And I think Derek Hough is sort of an all-around old-school Vegas-style entertainer. He does a lot of different stuff, sings, dances, plays instruments. So it seems like a nice fit for that room. It'll be a 7 p.m. show. There's a ton of dates booked from June through November, and tickets go on sale this Friday, February 7th. And a real-life new production show is coming to the Jubilee Theater at Bally's. It's Extravaganza, from the creators of the Wow show at the Rio. This was announced just after last week's episode of The Sun on the Strip, and I wrote all about it in my show column last Thursday at Las Vegas Sun's website, so go check that out for all the details. It looks like a classic Vegas show in a classic room, and it opens on March 14th. The newest show on the Strip, of course, is RuPaul's Drag Race Live, which opened at the Flamingo Thursday night. I'm going to catch this one later this week, and I'll have all my thoughts for you next week right here at LasVegasSun.com. And just a quick bit of food news, actually two little tasty nuggets. Herringbone, the seafood-focused restaurant on the second floor of Aria, has turned into a new three-meal eatery called Salt and Ivy. It still has a gorgeous patio, now it's serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which is a good thing because the huge Aria Cafe on the casino floor just closed over the weekend. That space is going to become Din Tai Fung later this year. And one of the biggest and best annual wine events in Las Vegas, UNL Vino, is transforming into a different kind of event this year, and it will be held on the Strip. It's now called the Evolution Las Vegas Food and Wine Experience. It is set for April 18th as a collaboration between Caesars Entertainment and Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits of Nevada. It'll happen at the new Caesars Forum Convention Center right behind the High Roller Wheel and the Link Promenade, and celebrity chef Bobby Flay will be this year's honoree. Some of the proceeds will still go to scholarships for students at the UNLV College of Hospitality, which is great. And tickets are on sale now at evolutionlv.com. So much has happened in the Vegas entertainment scene already this year, and it's kept me so busy that I almost forgot that it's already been a year since Chris Angel opened the new version of his Mind Freak magical spectacular at the Planet Hollywood Resort. I stopped by to see the show again last week, and he's really found his groove already. The place was absolutely packed on a Wednesday night. The crowd was loving it, and the show is even more fast-paced than before. Total sensory overload. I went backstage after the show to hang out with Chris and talk about getting the show just how he wants it to be. Last time I was here, and you were showing me around and took me up on the catwalk and kind of trying to illustrate all this crazy gear that you put into this place, I wonder, how long did it take for you to feel comfortable in this room like it was your place after putting so much money and so much technology into it, and then like getting all that stuff to work the way it was supposed to work? How long did it take for you to feel like you had your rhythm in this room?
Well, I felt home immediately because I had a history of Planet Hollywood. I started with Planet Hollywood back in 2004 when I shot my little television series, season one and two, called Mind Freak for A&E here. So I was very familiar with the location. I lived here for over 2 years, and it brought back tremendous memories for me. But to dial in the show, you know, I always create all of my projects. I make them much longer than they need to be, because I want to be able to listen to the audience and listen to what they react to and what they're engaged with. And then the stuff that's not as strong, I remove. Mm-hmm. Or it just doesn't feel comfortable. The flow doesn't feel right. So we dialed it in. It's been an ongoing process. The show is officially locked. Really, really thrilled with the show and the pacing. And most importantly, the reactions that we get from the audience. It's been overwhelming. I personally have not been to shows in Vegas that people yell and cheer and stand up in the middle of the show and have the types of reactions that they've had. It's really been an amazing, it's more like a concert than it is, you know, a typical theatrical show. It's theatrical, but the energy is much more of a concert and as a resident show than it is like the typical older traditional kind of shows that we have here in Vegas.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially because like a concert, you have your greatest hits, you know, that people are waiting for you to play that song, right?
Yes, many, many times people yell out, "Levitate!" And then I know it's coming up. So we give them what they want. We do things that are really, you know, YouTube clips that people really connected to and have, you know, tens of millions of views. We do those best of, if you will. And then I've also added, you know, some new demonstrations. And I'm always trying to cycle in something new because I have a lot of repeat business. You know, if you think about this, we've been open for about 13 months. And we've had people that have seen the show 50 something times. It's really unbelievable, the reaction to the show. And I think it's because it's not necessarily about the great illusions that are revolutionary in their own right. It's more about how people feel when they watch them. It's that magic of emotion, that connection. You know, this show is not about, you know, how do you do that? It's more about how do you feel when you watch it. It makes you cry. It excites you. It's scary. It's funny, you know, and it's like this emotional roller coaster. You don't know what the twists and turns are. And so for me, it's always about listening to the audience. I don't read teleprompters. I every audience is different. I'm in the moment and I'm reacting to the audience. They're reacting to me. And it's an evening that I'll never have this crowd together ever again. So it's important that I treat each show as a one-of-a-kind experience because truly it is. And so yeah, I love doing it, and I love the reaction that we get from it. It's very unique for an audience to react like that, not only for Vegas, but from anything I've seen in the world. Mm-hmm.
The extra stuff in the landscape, the screens and all that stuff resonated with me a little bit more this time. Maybe I was just more focused on what you were doing on stage last time I saw it, but that stuff is so complimentary and really, it's like a multidimensional experience.
Well, that's a tremendous compliment because that was what I was striving for. I wanted to have the first fully immersive experience in Las Vegas. I wanted the audience to be in the show, in the scene. So, you know, when I'm spinning around upside down over the audience's heads, so is the room, so is the audience. When I'm doing a 3D without glasses, you know, live effect on stage, not only is the live action moving, so is the virtual action, all synced up. And I believe it's the first time that it's ever been done in Vegas, starting from the lobby. The first step that you take in, it's about engagement, it's about interacting, it's about sharing social media. It's all of those things that I feel is, you know, the future of entertainment right now, and how we use holograms, which we have in the lobby, how we use 3D, how we use lasers, and, you know, we have over 2,000 lights in this show. There's more moving lights in this show than all 7 Cirque shows combined. There's over 500 million pixels of video, over 100 different screens. That's more video than any pop artist in any Coliseum. You know, there's 31 different flame heads in the stage alone. Just flame heads, you know. So we have the first 3D, you know, live action stuff. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of people, and they've started, not you know, I don't think executed well just by their attendance, but you can see that other shows have tried to kind of mimic where we're going. But I'm just grateful that I didn't have to spend $150 or $200 million to create the show, and we created an experience that is completely unique for Las Vegas and entertainment.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the lobby, and that's still a kind of a new experience that it's open to. You don't have to have a ticket to the show.
There's free
times during the day when they
you can come explore the lobby. You can see, you know, Gary Oldman, an Oscar winner, talking to Flavor Flav. You know, you could see Paul Stanley, talking to Randy Couture, you know, six-time UFC champion and Hall of Famer. There's some funny dialogue that goes on between all of them. There's two incredible true holograms that take place. There is motorcycles, 13 of my motorcycles throughout the hotel that you can experience and take a look at. There's some of my accolades and lots of different memorabilia in the lobby, a bunch of awards that I've been blessed to receive. So it's all there, and my Magica merch store, it's all there to kind of experience. It's not all about getting people's money. It's about creating an entire evening that people can be engaged, have fun, and if they have a good time in a lobby or looking at the stuff and it connects to them, then they probably will want to experience the show, which continues that experience once you go into the Vaughn and then into the theater. You know, as soon as you step foot in this lobby, you know you're in for an experience that's completely different than anything that we've seen in Vegas so far.
Of Van Morrison, of course, who has three more shows at the Coliseum this week. He's been playing here pretty regularly for the last few years, always around this time of year, and this is the first time I've ever seen Van Morrison play live. Great show, probably the most low-key show I've ever been to at the Coliseum, but I like that because I can just chill, have my drink, and really hear every note this guy plays on the sax and every lyric that he sings. Such a unique voice and musical style. If you're a fan, or even if you're not, I wasn't a huge fan before this show, but you should definitely get down to Caesars and see this guy, music legend, if you can. It was also my first time going to the Coliseum and sitting in, I guess, what you would consider the VIP section since the venue renovated over last summer. So much has been made about the area right in front of the stage, which is, there's a hydraulic lift system so that it could be standing room, as it is for Keith Urban's residency shows, which are real crazy and wild. Or they can just do what they did for Van Morrison, which is push that thing up, put some nice cozy seats on it, and have, again, a laid-back musical affair. I did not sit in front of the stage, though. I sat on the couch-like plush seating areas in the center of the room at the back of the floor seating. Very nice, very cozy cocktail service. That, to me, is the way to go. If you're going to, you could do this in any of the three big rooms. If you get the right seats,
you can get cocktail service. And when you're watching a show that's an hour and a half or longer, essentially a concert, and you don't have to get up to go get your drink, that changes the experience. I felt pretty luxurious at the Coliseum this time around, so I would recommend it if you have the means. It was very choice. Okay, it's time for your weekend rundown on the Strip. Don't forget, you can always find extra entertainment options on and off the Strip every Friday in my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. Aerosmith is rocking out at Park Theater this weekend, and Gwen Stefani is doing the same at Zappos Theater. Shin Lim is back making magic happen at the Mirage, and comedian Eliza Schlesinger is performing in the same room there this weekend, Terry Fader Theater. The Doobie Brothers open a 3-week run of shows at the Venetian Theater, and Brian McKnight is singing at Encore Theater for the second time on Saturday night. I have a great interview with him that you can read right now at LasVegasSun.com. In the clubs, you've got Juicy J Friday and French Montana Saturday at Dre's. More rap acts and OT Genesis and Juvenile this weekend at Jewel. Steve Aoki is at Omnia, and Alesso, the Chainsmokers, and Dylan Francis do a big weekend at XS at Wynn. Thanks for listening to The Sun on the Strip. If you like what you're hearing, please consider a quick rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow all my Vegas entertainment coverage simply by visiting LasVegasSun.com and clicking on Entertainment. You can reach me anytime at Brock.Radke@LasVegasSun.com or find me on Twitter at BrockVegas3. Thanks again. Have a great week.